19 November 2003. We are kind of closing down our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. And I'm safe to say that when we close this down, we're going to start the book of Job, which I'm just super excited about, learning things and seeing things. And so we'll be getting into not a verse by verse. That would be virtually impossible of a 42-chapter book. But we'll certainly get the flow, and we'll cover a lot of pertinent verses and see things. But right now, we are in stress, anxiety, and depression, and why we don't have to suffer from it from God's point of view. Let's be in prayer for Estelle, and just be in prayer for each other as we go through this battle, spiritual battle that we're in. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are, that you care whether or not we experience stress and depression, the manifestation of your love. Pray, Father, that you will guide us tonight, your Spirit will be the teacher, and how we can experience stress no more from your point of view. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, it's been a couple of weeks since we have been on this. We missed last week. So if you're kind of watching it and you're on tape or on the internet, the 12th of November, we did not have class, and we will not have class next Wednesday, which will be Thanksgiving Eve. So let's get into where we are. What we're looking at is, from the very beginning, we talked about the solution to stress, anxiety, and depression is to living who you are in Christ. First of all, you've got to know who you are in Christ, then believe who you are in Christ, and then live who you are in Christ. It becomes a crucial issue here. And so, we've gone through quite a number of things, and I won't take the time to address them all, but we've seen such things as access to God was the 20th one. 21 was very powerful under the much more care of God, His love, His grace, His power, His faithfulness, His peace, His comfort, His intercession. And then we noted, closing up a couple of weeks ago, a very important one, and that is to live where you are and who you are in Christ. And we dealt with our heavenly citizenship. Believers' realm of reality is your heavenly citizenship. That's your realm of reality, not here on earth. And we noted such beautiful verses, Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, a Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is written to the church age, so this is not talking about the Savior as a Savior of salvation one, but his return and His kingdom and these things, but we live in the spiritual or heavenly realm. This is the place of our citizenship. And so this becomes very important, that our citizenship is in heaven. Then we looked at Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens in your heavenly realm. You may feel like a stranger in your own home, and that's unfortunate. But unfortunately, there are young children who feel this way. There are adults, husbands, wives that feel this way in their own home. What a tragic place and way to have to live your life. You are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. And we spent a few moments here for those of you not necessarily experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, but to realize that those believers who do or who have experienced some horrible things, they are fellow citizens, fellow comrades of your heavenly citizenship. Then we looked at Hebrews 12:22. But you, referring to you, have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, into the marriage of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. So these verses just again are all putting together that we're, this is where we abide, is in that heavenly kingdom. And this is got to be our mental understanding of who and what we are. And then verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. So that was point 24, and now we begin tonight with point 25, of who you are in Christ. Point 25, closely related to 24, our heavenly citizenship. Yet, when I was studying this, for those of you, I'm dealing with this whole study from the standpoint of those who experience stress and depression in today's society, because it's just overwhelming the number of Christians that do. And I just decided, I want to pull this one out, and I want to make it something you concentrate on in and of itself. And here it is. It sounds a little bit like 24, but it's different to me. And I think it'll be different to any of you who are suffering from stress and depression. You are of the household of God. I think this makes it a little more personal than just a citizenship. Citizenship is grand, and we have to think that way. But I just felt for those who are hurting, this is a little closer. You're the house of God. Often when Christians suffer stress, anxiety, and depression, there's a sense of isolation. There's a sense of not belonging to any household. It's more than just a loneliness. It includes a loneliness, but there's a fear, and there's an emptiness of no household. And that's a horrible place to be. That's a horrible sense inside your soul, especially if you're in a house where the other people are living, and you just don't sense that you belong to that household. Well, here's good news for you. God says that you belong to His household, and He claims you. He wants you. You're worthy to be in His household because of who and what you are in Christ. You may not think you are, but you are. See, sometimes the way other Christians treat us and other people in our life treat us, you begin to put that off on God. Well, if my own husband, my own wife, my own parents, my own children don't want me, then God doesn't want me in His household. Don't do that to God. My ways are not your ways. God says that you belong to His household. You are, so you come to the point what I've tried to relate to you these many times. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to what God says, or are you going to listen to what man says? And God says you belong to His household. Satan tells you you do not belong. Others tell you you do not belong. Sometimes even we ourselves, when we're listening to our AM inside our own soul, tell ourselves we do not belong. God says you belong. Please look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. So then, now this is a verse we just read, but look at it in this context now. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but come out on in. How y'all doing? Oh my goodness, Carol and Sue, wow. Yeah. How you doing? We're in the midst of studying. We just increased our congregation significantly. We're in the midst of studying why Christians do not need to experience stress and depression, regardless of the circumstances of life, past, present. And we are at the number 25 reason, and we're dealing with you are the household of God. And we have seen that often when Christians experience stress and depression over things that have gone on in their life or have gone on in their life, there's a strong sense of isolation, not belonging. Well, God says you belong. God says you belong to His household. And so you've got to decide if you're going to listen to what Satan says and what other people say, or you're going to listen to what God says. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 29. No, verse 19. Now, verse 19, which we have noted, verse 19. Let's note it again. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. Here, let me give you all a text. I won't be needing this one. It's big enough for both of you to use. There you go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So you then are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. And then he adds the phrase that we're looking at right now. Ephesians 2, 8, 19. And are of God's household. Dear people hurting out there, this is where you belong. This is your household. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your parents, maybe your children, putting a lot of pressure, adding to the stress, depression, because of things that have happened in the past, things that are happening now, and you feel so isolated, you feel like you don't belong anywhere. This is what God says. You're in God's household. Stop trying to hold on to something that is not eternal. Stop trying to hold on to things on this earth. That's why so many Christians end up so hurt, because they're holding on to their ideals, some imagery, something going on. Even preachers put forth a lot of stuff that isn't true, holding on to things that are not eternal. Please identify your existence, your household, with those things that are eternal. Identify yourself with the true household to which you belong. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, wonderful chapter in the book of Galatians, the closing chapter. So then, while we have opportunity, now, when we have this opportunity, while you're here on earth right now, please don't waste the day. Don't waste the day in stress and depression. Just change the channel to FM, to your faith mindset, to who you are in Christ. Not what's going on in your circumstances. We have the opportunity. Let us do good to all men. Okay, you're suffering, stress, anxiety, depression, because you did not do good to all. Or because good was not done to you. You were molested as a child, or different things going on. So one key thing has happened in your life. Either one, you did not do good to all, so you're really down on yourself in punishment under basic instincts of man, or good was not done to you. One or the other. You didn't do it, or it was not done to you. Please do not let that stop you from being restored, verse 1 of chapter 6, and taking advantage of the opportunities in your life. Don't wallow in them. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. Look at the end of verse 10. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of faith. What a tragedy the way Christians treat one another. They judge one another, malign one another, slander one another, separate from one another. We just do all kinds of, we shoot one another. It's just amazing what we do. And there's just so many exhortations in Scripture of what to do in spiritual love. Now, this tells you first of all, especially those who are the household of faith, this tells you, first of all, that you are a member of the household of God. How are you a member of the household of God? Look what it says, by faith. This also tells you how to be restored. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have in Christ. The faith tells you how you are the household of God. Faith tells you how to be restored if you're out in AM, the Adamic mindset, and how to take advantage of the opportunities. Now, what are those opportunities? What are the opportunities? The opportunities are these things that we're studying. We're now looking at number 25. Taking the opportunity of every one of these. You can get your mindset, well, I'm poor, I do not have enough influence or job, I'm sick, I'm not handsome or beautiful or smart or intelligent or money-making and on and on and on. I just don't have much opportunity. See, you're thinking in the realm of the world, which is where stress, anxiety, and depression reside. You've got to think in the spiritual realm and take the opportunity. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have. So this tells us something of great importance to every believer. Those of you that are listening to this that are not suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, what are you to do in regard to those believers who are of the same household you're in, who are suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression? Whether you think they should be or not is not the point. And you may be the one adding to it. That's not the point. The point is, what are you supposed to be doing when they fail? Let's just say they have failed. The opportunity for you to demonstrate the love that is associated with this household. Verse 1, to restore. Chapter 5, serve one another in love. People, we'll be studying when we finish this series. And I'm hoping, my plans right now to start New Year's Eve, the study of Job. I don't know, but that's what I'm looking at doing. Job's three friends did not come to Job to serve him. They came to judge him. They did not come to pray with him or for him. They came, like most believers, to cast judgment. They did not come to pray with him. They did not come to help him. They came to judge him, not love. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Now, what is the good? The good is the spiritual, the encouraging in Christ, who we are in Christ. People, you don't have to lie with this. This isn't a strap on. Oh, you're a great guy. You're a great gal. Oh, yeah. People, you don't have to do that. You encourage people in the truth, who they are in Christ. Get right in their face. Are you saved? Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Or if they're at the point where they might even be convinced, you are saved, you do have the Holy Spirit, you are the family of God, you're all these 24 things we've already looked at, you're not condemned, you're justified, you're redeemed, reconciled, propitiated, and on and on and on. Get in their face and help them to start changing that mindset from the AM identity mindset to FM for the faith mindset. This is what we can do. Let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Don't run them down and hurt them. Restore them to living in that household. Point 26. If we can make just a little headway tonight. Point 26. Now, just what does that heavenly citizenship and household mean in your daily life? In your daily life. That you are citizens of America affects our daily life. It affects our daily life even when we're out of this country. You'd be traveling. And there's just a comfort in knowing you're an American citizen, even though the world may hate American citizens. There's just something about being an American citizen. And somewhere. So even when we're out of this country, being an American citizen affects us. Well, people, so does your heavenly citizenship, even though you're out of the heavenly realm and here on earth. So point 26, in Jesus Christ, you have heavenly identification. You have heavenly association. This is very important. You have a heavenly association, a heavenly identification. One of the reasons Christians suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression is that they associate their self-worth, listen now, they associate their self-worth by earthly identification. That comes with our basic instincts. We associate our self-worth by our earthly identification, our earthly performance. Be it very poor, we have very poor associations. It's very great. We have great associations, right or wrong. Okay, so people experience stress, anxiety, and depression because they associate their self-worth from their earthly identification. Well, here's where you ought to live. Here's your association, identification of yourself. Forget what others think about you. This is what you need to start getting in. Let the Spirit make a reality in your mind. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. but God. I love that phrase. No matter what's going on in your life, but God. But God. And I want to also note again that it is God the Father who's the one doing, not you. You're not the one doing. God is. It's so difficult to get past our basic instinct of our flesh nature. But God. Being rich in mercy. Now remember what mercy is. Mercy is not based on performance. You don't deserve mercy. A lot of times people get this confused. Show mercy because they've really straightened up their life. That's not mercy. You don't get mercy because you straighten up your life. That's the wrong use of the word. None of us receive mercy at the cross because we straightened up our life. We receive mercy at the cross undeservingly. It was given to us because of who and what Christ is. So, God, rich in mercy, because of His great love. Note the description. Rich in mercy. Great magnitude of love. The magnitude of God's love is infinite. The magnitude of His love. With which He loved us. Undeserved. Undeserved. Unearned. You never earn it, people. So don't come down on yourself that I'm not worthy to be loved by God because of what has happened to me or what I've done. Therefore, I'm not worthy. People, I don't care how good you may think you are. You're never worthy of God's love. Well, I live a pretty clean life, and I don't do any really bad things, and I'm not really bad like Bill Clinton, and I'm not really bad like Hitler, and I'm not really bad like these people. I'm a pretty good person. And may not be really as good as Mother Teresa, but I'm somewhere in between. Doesn't matter. See, you're using the earthly performance standard again, Satan's lie. Rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Now, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, unbeliever, undeserving, no performance, look what He did. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Our part is simply faith. As an unbeliever and then as a believer. The pattern flows into our Christian life. And raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, people, there's your status right now. There's your identification. How do you identify yourself? With your job? With your income? With the status of your marriage? With the status of your family life? My children are no good. They're all horrible. And therefore, it's a bad reflection on me. My marriage is broken. It's a bad reflection. And that's who I am. Or I may be the cause of it being broken. And on and on and on and on. Let's look at all the things around us together, our status of who and what we are. Or you can do what God says. You can do what God says. And here's your status. Seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Boy, I sure don't feel that way. I know you don't. I know that's why you hurt. That's why I'm doing the series. But this is who and what you are. If you'll just believe who you are and start living who you are in Christ. That's simple. People, God's way of stress no more is simple. People don't believe it, though. They want to work for it. They want to earn. They want to do. It can't be that simple. Verse 7. In order that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That last verse there, people like to ponder, what's heaven going to be like? Right there tells you what heaven's going to be like. In ages to come, that's in eternity. And what's He going to be doing for all eternity? He's going to be demonstrating the surpassing riches of His kindness. I don't know how else to tell you how great that is. It's going to be living in the surpassing greatness of His kindness in Christ Jesus. Kapow. Now let's read the whole thing without my editorial remarks. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, people, He does love you. I know you don't feel worthy of his love, but he does. I know your friends don't love you, but he does. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, unbelievers, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come, he might... Look why he did all of this. Why did God do all of that for us? Look what it says. In order that. Purpose cause. In order that. In the ages to come, he might show, demonstrate the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I thought he was doing that for us right now. He's going to be doing it for all eternity. In ages to come. So people now, right now today, you want to start living who you are in Christ and identify yourself with that heavenly position you have in Christ. You are partners with Jesus Christ in this life. Maybe your friends don't want you, but Christ does. Start living it in Christ. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. See, people are looking at all these things, but it's up to you. You want to wallow in your performance and Satan's lie and all these things here? You want to continue in this state of this of depression and all? That's your business. Or you can take hold of who and what you are in Christ. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, well, I guess that about says it all. Is your husband your life? Is your wife your life? Is your children your life? Is your parents your life? Is your work your life? Is your identification your life? Is the way you look your life? Is what you have your life? Or is Christ your life? Stress and depression will occur in your life proportionally to what's important in your life. And if the things of the earth are so bad important to you and they are in disbalance, guess what's going to happen to you? Stress and depression. But when you live your life centered in Christ and just him, and don't get nervous and upset about everything else in people, and this decision is yours, you see, is how you want to identify and how you want to look at your own life. You reach the point where Jesus Christ is your life, not people, not things, not your performance on earth, but your partnership and association with Christ. People, let me tell you something. There'll be no stress and depression in your life. There'll be none. I can't make you do this. No one can make you do this. This is a reality that you decide by faith in the Spirit that you're going to have your life centered in Him. Now, not to any point of great stress and depression, but just to give you the idea. We have a small assembly here. I can't identify any kind of worthiness by the number of people, but by my association with Christ. That's got to be your center of life. It's got to be your how do you identify yourself? How do you describe yourself? Is it in terms of the earth, or is it in terms of Christ? Now, let's continue verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now I want to say two things quickly. Yes, you, listening to this series right now, via tape, internet, you, no matter how you may feel about yourself, how others feel about you, you're going to be identified with Christ. Now, that's the first thing I want to point out. When Christ is, our life is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You are going to be revealed with him. Not according to how you are right now. You're going to be revealed with him. Why don't you live that way right now? Just throw off what everybody thinks about you. Start walking in the power of the Spirit. Start living who you are in Christ. Take advantage of every day. Identifying yourself with who you really are. This is who I really am. Who I am in Christ. He will be revealed and you will be revealed with him in glory. Now, let me tell you something very important here. Do you get it? See if you see it. You will be revealed with him in glory. Don't look for your praise today. Don't look for the world, even the Christians, to tell you how great you are today. This isn't where it's going to happen. This is not home. It's an old gospel hymn. Haven't heard it in quite some time. But it's an old gospel hymn about an old missionary who finally was returning from the foreign mission field. And he got off the boat back in the days when they traveled by boat. And boy, there was a big band, and there was a lot of people there. And they were there because there were some celebrities. And boy, they were just making a big wahoo over the celebrity and so happy to see him and all this stuff. And the gospel hymn rose. He just went over and he just kind of broke his heart. Nobody was there to meet him. There's no one there to meet this guy. Here was a whole band, all these people, band and flags and all this stuff for this dignitary. No, not one person was there to meet this old missionary. And then a voice came to him through the Spirit in his head and said, "You're not home yet. You're not home yet. People, you're not home here. Your household is in heaven, and this is where the glory is going to be. So live in that state. Partners with Jesus Christ." I don't know why I did this, but I note that I went from Ephesians 2, 4, 5, and 6, and then went to Colossians. But let's go to 1 Corinthians. I was going to do something else there, but let's go to 1 Corinthians. Okay. Many of you listening to this tape series, if you've stayed in this long, in stress, anxiety, and depression, maybe you're at a point where other Christians will not have fellowship with you because of something you've done. Maybe something that's happened to you. You're just you were molested as a little girl, molested as a little boy. And I've now read and understand enough. I'm as I told you before in this series, I'm just appalled. I'm overwhelmed by one, the number of people that are abused as little children in our society is just boggling to my mind. The number of children that are neglected and I'm going to say verbally abused, not physically, but verbally abused by their parents. All these things start adding up. And then things that Christians do and they start being isolated. So maybe even other Christians don't want to have fellowship with you. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ would have fellowship with you. Think about that. The King of Kings will have fellowship with you. Now, maybe somebody you think is important on earth won't. Remember Satan's lie now. Your self-worth is your performance plus what? Plus others' opinion of you, especially certain others' opinion of you. They're important. And so this becomes an issue here. And we care. But I want to tell you who will always have fellowship with you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. In fact, last night in our study of Jude, we read some of 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship. People, you are in partnership, in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And yes, while it is nice to have encouragement of others, but what happens when they're not there? When they separate from you. And those of you suffering from stress and depression know what I'm talking about. Some of you others don't. But those of you that are suffering and experiencing this, maybe they even thought, oh, we've got just cause and all this stuff. So you know what it's like. When they separate from you, I want you to remember what kind of partner Jesus Christ is. We've already studied other passages, but He will never desert you. He will never forsake you. Now, you may leave Him. You may not want to have fellowship with Him. That's your doing. He's standing right there. But if you do, He's right there, people. He will never desert you. He will never forsake you. Many Christians today find their purity in divorcing, separating, maligning. But not your partner, Jesus Christ. Not Him. He finds His holiness in restoring you, comforting you, and coming to you. In your association with Jesus Christ, you are workers together with Him. These are things that I hope that you're grasping to hold on to. I know you may be sitting there listening, but I'm not worthy, and look what I've done, and all of that. People, it's what I'm trying to tell you about the cross, and so I'm trying to go through all these things. This is who and what you are to Christ. He's standing right there if you just go into association with Him. He will never leave you. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians 6:4, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardship, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonment, in turmoils, in labors, sleeplessness, in hunger, purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in His love, in the true, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left. Okay, a lot of stuff going on here, and I just wanted you to, I want you to read this. I want you to see, no matter what's going on. Now, most preachers will tell you all of those things just include the good. They do not include any of the bad. People, I'm here to tell you that no matter the bad or the good, that if you get yourself, get up and start living who you are in Christ, then you start living. And you're a partnership with Christ as His servant. You are servants of Him. You are servants of the new covenant. Now, there'll be Christians that tell you when you get up and you start living who you are in Christ that you're not worthy. Don't listen to them. Just get away from them. Just get away from them. The best thing I can tell you to do, Paul says, flee from immorality. Flee from believers who judge you. Just get away from them. If you're on your way of walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, you're on your way of living who you are in Christ, just get away from believers who want to judge, malign, and keep you in your place. And if you can find any, you just get with some grace believers who don't judge and malign and encourage. That's who you want to be with. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:6. You're in 6:4, look back a few chapters, chapter 3, verse 6. Who, referring to God, also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. People, He made you adequate. You don't make yourself adequate. Now, you may think because of things you've done or things that's happened to you that you're not adequate. You're not adequate if those things had never happened to you and you'd never committed one sin. You're not adequate because of you. He makes you adequate. Servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, that's the law, but of the Holy Spirit, that's life. Third member of the Godhead. For the law kills, but the Holy Spirit gives life. So as you move out from underneath the burden of stress and depression, and you start taking up who you are in Christ, start living in association with Christ, with God, with the Holy Spirit, living in the new covenant, please do not look. Please do not expect praise from your judges. You just walk with the Lord. You just walk with the Holy Spirit under the new covenant. And you just remember that it is God who's the judge, not man. We've reached the point where we're talking about healing from stress, anxiety, and depression, and moving on. And this is dealing with the reality of life. Don't expect a lot of people to applaud and all of this. Either you've heard a lot of people, or a lot of people have taken their side of judging you, and they're not going to give. Don't look for any encouragement whatsoever from these people. You just live your life, take up your partnership with Christ. You walk with the Lord in the new covenant. Let Him guide you where He wants to guide you. But please do not look for encouragement where it is not going to be found. They'll keep you down. Many Christians who try to come out from underneath stress and depression because of things in life are kept down by other holy, pure Christians. So just don't even expect it. You will help yourself out if you don't even expect it. You just take up who you are in Christ. You just walk in the power of the Spirit. You let Him guide your life. Don't try to make anything happen. You just let Him guide your life. He is the judge, not man. Who are you? You're an ambassador for Christ. This is who you are, and you can't lose it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These are fun things of who and what we are, along with the 24 other things we've studied and a few more we've got left. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. People, don't let anybody tell you, well, that doesn't mean you. You're no good. No, you can't lose this. You may not function this way, but you can't lose it. You can't lose this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, those of you that are not under stress, even though this is a salvation passage, are bringing the Gentiles into salvation, let's do this to one another. Now, those of you suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, you don't feel like ambassadors. Self-righteous Christians try to keep you in your sinful place. Tell you you're unworthy to be an ambassador. People, Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. He denied in cursing 3 times, which set a pattern. People talk about, well, some Christians have horrible patterns of sin. What is the three? Why 3 times? Because the 3 times sets a pattern. This is the pattern. If he had been asked 500 more times, Peter would have denied 500 more times. The pattern is set. Deny Jesus Christ in cursing. I do not blankety blank, no blankety blank, that blankety blank person. The Greek is very clear on this. In profanity, he denied he even knew Jesus. And what did Jesus Christ tell Peter? When your faith returns, go and encourage others. His faith also has been eclipsed because of things in their life. And they denied me. This is powerful. I don't know how God will ever use me again because of this and that, because of what happened in my marriage, because of what happened here, what happened there, and what brought on all the stress, anxiety, and depression, and what happened to me as a little boy, and what happened to me as a little girl. I just don't see. Let me give you a little clue. The Holy Spirit might lead you to go encourage somebody who's also experienced some of the things you have. And you can come along beside them and put your arm around them, and you can say, look, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how great God is. Let me tell you how great God's love is. So God has a plan, people. It's not over. Just start living who you are in Christ. So you're partners with Him in service. You're partners with Him in ambassadorship. Here's another one for you. And this one isn't going to make you too happy. But I want you to be aware of it because it's things you're going through. You're partners with Jesus Christ in suffering. Your partners with Jesus Christ in suffering. Let me tell you something, people, and listen to me carefully. I know that you, because of basic instinct, I know that you, because of your Christian friends, relate all your suffering just because of your sins. Let me tell you something. All your suffering, from sin or not, is related to the spiritual warfare. If I could sit down with every one of you personally, just sit down, I would try to start, be one of my beginning places to start. That all suffering, even the suffering from our own sins, you are in a spiritual warfare. They're not isolated. They're not isolated. So get up. Be restored by faith. And if there is continued suffering, let it be because of your partnership with Christ. Please look with me at Philippians chapter 1. Find it in your table of contents. If you don't know where it is, Philippians chapter 1. Take the time. I know some of you may be hurting while you're listening to this, but just take the time to open the Bible up. The Holy Spirit can make these things give courage and peace to your soul. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For to you, I mean you, put your name right there. It has been granted for Christ's benefit not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his benefit. So, you can suffer in life because of your sins, because of failures, or you can suffer because of your identification with him. You can turn wherever you are right this minute and immediately turn all that suffering because of who you are and your identification with Christ. Just spend some time that we've talked about it, we've gone through the process, and you just go into prayer, trust the Spirit, get to F, from AM to FM, and then start letting these things become a reality and start living them. Turn to 1 Peter, powerful verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, very important verse, very powerful. Love this one. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12. I haven't done 1 Peter. I feel really, really energetic. I had a wonderful physical report on my physical examination, and but I also am aware of my age. And when you just teach 3 times a week, and when I talk 6-7 times a week, I got to cover a lot of stuff. But I don't know how we're going to cover a lot of things in just 3 times a week. But we'll get some more done. But here's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, that's you. Yeah, that's you, every one of you. Even though you may not feel it, that's you. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. What does that mean? Don't be surprised at the things that happen to you. Seemingly sometime for no reason. Related to the spiritual warfare. Be loved. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. Now look, if you don't understand a fiery ordeal, which comes upon you for testing. Now what is the testing? To see if you're going to walk by faith or not. Are you going to stay with faith? You're going to turn to works, to law. Or are you going to continue to walk by faith? As though some, listen to this now, because I know this will distract some of you that are hurting tonight, as though some strange thing were happening to you. You ever feel like that? That's why you got distress and depression? I just don't understand. I don't understand where the heaviness of my soul and these things that keep happening in my life. It's hardly worth getting up in the morning because I just get knocked down. And not even knocked down back in bed. I've already moved far enough away from the bed that when I get knocked down, I hit the floor. Don't hit the bed. That might even be a little bit better. No? As though some strange thing were happening to you. Unexplainable. Those of you who suffer stress, anxiety, and depression, doesn't it seem just to be unexplainable sometimes? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen when I was a child? Why did this happen in my marriage? Why did this happen at work? Why did this happen? Why is this going on in my romance? Why is this going on in my health? Why is this going on in my work, at work, and everywhere I go? Well, now you're beginning to understand. Now, before we go to verse 13, let's look at verse 12 without editorial remark. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Verse 13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. Inner attitude and peace and happiness. You know, a lot of people know the great phrase by Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And boy, that has been the banner of a lot of Christians. They don't read very far. Look at Job. Look at Job with me. Look at Job 1. Look at Job 1. Let's take a look. Job 1. Oh, sure, I'm going to read this. Okay. Job 1. Okay. My time. Look at Job 1 with me. Job 1. And look at verse 21. Job 1, 21. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Well, we just want to say amen. Amen. Now, you got that? Sounds great. Now look at chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3. And I'm going to read more than one verse. So, chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to see some contrast. See if you see this. Take a look at it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day he was born. Well, wait a minute. Huh? What? What? Yeah. See what happened? Boy, he's strong. But it just keeps coming. And it just keeps coming. And so finally Job says, look at chapter 3, what we're going to be looking at. Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job said, let the day perish which I was to be born, and the night which said a boy is conceived. May that day be darkness. Let not God above care a thing about that day, nor light shine upon it, so as to give it life. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. It's the soul. You think you're down? Stay with me when we study Job. Don't stop listening when we finish the stress, anxiety, and depression series. Stay with us when we study Job. Now go back and see what we got in 1 Peter. It'll make some sense to you now. 1 Peter, but to the degree that you are share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. See that keep on? He was good at one point. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then what happened? He lost it. People, I know it's tough. I'm not judging. I'm not judging Job. We're learning from Job. It's tough to keep on walking by faith. It's tough to keep on living who you are in Christ. Keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. Look with me at one more passage. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians 3:3. We're about to close here, but I want to finish up this point. And then next week we'll be ready for point 27. But look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. I like to study because we do a lot of Bible verses looking, and when you're suffering from stress and depression and you're hurting, and the more the scripture you get into, and the more you just start changing from AM to FM and allow the Holy Spirit to restore your soul. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. People, don't be disturbed by these things. And don't let them take you off into attacking God, blaming man, and all this kind of stuff. Just trust him. Don't start attacking one another. Just trust him. Don't even attack one another. Don't even attack the believers that are hurting you and judging you or whatever it may be. You just keep trusting him. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Great chapter on the Holy Spirit, filling of the Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. People, your heavenly spiritual partnership with Jesus Christ, live in that. Don't start reacting to people, to God, as Job did. Started off good and lost it. Just be able to stay on FM. Be able to stay in that partnership with Jesus Christ and say, I don't understand the fiery darts. I don't understand the power of darkness. I don't understand what's going on here. But I do know one thing. I trust you. You're God. I trust you. And my hope and my confidence is in you, not in the circumstances of life. And you will not be ashamed if that's where you stand. Okay, this should help us to start getting up and moving out of our stress and depression into who and what we are in Christ. We will begin at this point 2 weeks. We'll not be meeting next Wednesday evening. We will have class next Tuesday, but not next Wednesday. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are. What an awesome God. You don't explain to us, Heavenly Father, the ins and outs of why the fiery darts come and why the things happen to us when we're little babies and when we're children and when we're grown up and when we're in marriage and when we're not in marriage and when these things. You just say, they're going to happen to you because of the spiritual warfare that's going on between your son and the archenemy, between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And you just tell us to trust us. You're going to be faithful. Don't tell us to figure it out, understand it, fight it. Just tell us to trust us. Just continue living who we are in Christ in the midst of it. What an awesome God you are. That we can trust like that. Father, I pray you take this study, the series tonight. Get into the hands of those who want to hear it. Get in the hands of those few people who are suffering and this is what their soul needs. Father, I truly don't care if it's not in the hands of a million people, but it's in the hands of only 10 people. But it's the 10 people who respond to your love, to your grace, and your mercy. So you get it in your hands. Some miraculous way. Praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.